Well, hello. I think my speakers are supercharged today. Welcome to Book Talk. They are blasting out loud for some reason, or my hearing's coming back, one of the two. Who knows? But welcome to Book Talk. We're back for another week. So let's turn it over to Jenny. I think Nolan had it last week. You take it away, please. Well, hopefully.
I have audio down. Did you talk to me first?
No, I thought I talked to Jenny. I thought
you did too, but I'm just
making
sure. I'm sorry.
My jaws was babbling about people coming in at the same time. And sorry about that.
Alt Windows S. If when you're in the window,
I did. That's what I did to shut it up.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But I'm glad to say I'm back and human again. Yay.
Yeah, you're
all you. You sound much better.
Oh, I feel much better. I don't ever want to get that sick again. I've never had that, and I don't want it back. I think you lose your hearing and everything else. Your head gets so stopped up that you can't hardly hear.
You running with Rona, or was it something else, you think? No way to know, I guess.
Huh? No way to know, really.
We were so sick that I didn't want to make somebody else sick to test and see if it was the coronavirus. But
makes sense.
It very well could have been, because I had fever so many times and everything. I don't know. I never felt like that.
Oh, that's grim.
No, thank you. Well, has one of you got a book out of the chute?
Always.
I know
you.
Who
wants to go first?
You want to go, or you want me to go?
You go ahead if you want. It's your thing, so I'm just kind of here. We don't have any hands up yet, do we?
We do not.
Okay.
I have a fun book. It's a mystery, yes, and I know. I review mysteries. I can't help it.
So do I. This should just be called Book Talk Mysteries or something.
Yeah. But this one was fun. It was called, and it's by an author that I've tried to, I asked Lady A if she was related to V.C. Andrews. And, of course, she said, well, she's his sister. But when I asked her if she was related to Virginia C. Andrews, she couldn't tell me. But I think they are related in somehow or another. Anyway, her name is Donna Andrews. And the book is called Murder with Peacocks. And it's part of, it's the first book in the Meg Langston series. And Meg, she always gets in adventures, but in this one, she's trying to help. She's supposed to be the maid of honor in three different weddings, her mother, her brother, and her best friend. And they all want to do such outrageous things. And one of the brides wants to have a flock of peacocks participate in the wedding. And during this wedding, someone is murdered, and while trying to figure out, and it brings up all kinds of old crimes from the past while they try to find out who did it, and Meg starts to fall in love, and it's just fun. It's funny because these peacocks are part of it, and she tells you about all the outrageous things these people want to do, and it's not at all a serious mystery, and you really don't get gory details of the murder. I really enjoyed it. I'd forgotten that I'd read that. It'd been quite a while ago, and I think I might have read one of the other ones in it. I don't remember. There's only five or six of them, and I recommend it if you just want something fun, and it's called Murder with Peacocks, and it's Donna Andrews, and it's BR13132 70 or DBC 16974. I have no idea what the narration was like. I read it in Braille many moons ago. I actually read it from Bookshare when I read it, but it was really, really good.
Very cool.
Well, Nolan, I guess it's your turn. I've turned off my alerts. I'm so sick of those.
I have not yet, but if somebody needs to. I guess Perry is out there.
Yeah, Perry's trolling if he needs my help. Send me a message, Perry, and all.
The thickest of it. I want to talk about Close to Home, D.I. Adam Fawley, F-A-W-L-E-Y, number one. Now, let me talk to you about how I do these title conventions, because if you've seen my book list, you see how I write them, and sometimes that's a little confusing. Anytime you see something in parentheses, that is not part of the actual title of the book. That's something I'm adding for the benefit of somebody who reads that review, so they know if it's a book in a series that they're following or a book that they haven't read, whatever it is. So again, the title itself is Close to Home, and in parentheses I have D.I. Adam Fawley, F-A-W-L-E-Y, number one. This is the first book in a series about a British detective inspector. The author is Cara Hunter, C-A-R-A, Hunter conventionally spelled. If you are eligible to borrow books from the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, you can download or request DB93787. Once again, DB93787. This is a book that held me spellbound. I was pretty intrigued by this, and it stayed with me. I was going to review this last week, and we just ran out of time. 8-year-old Daisy Mason has gone missing. Her disappearance is every parent's nightmare, as you might imagine. Detective Inspector Fawley and his associates get involved in the case, of course, because she's not at the house. The family had a costume party and invited the neighbors, and there was a little girl there who dresses very similarly to what Daisy would wear at a costume party. The family thought it was her, turned out to be a neighbor, and Daisy Mason just wasn't at the party at all. The cops dig into this, and as they do, they peel back layer after layer of family yuck and secrets until it kind of feels like the entire family is a giant wound full of teeming maggots. Just stuff going on that makes you think maybe she's better off, little Daisy is better off with her abductors than she is with that family. Who knows? You have to read this to make that judgment call for yourself. It's well written. It'll hold your interest. It's narrated by a couple of Brits, and they do a nice job. It's a solid book, and you know, it's kind of creepy because this family is so yucky. Once you dig into it, the mother is obsessed with keeping up her appearances. Nothing can be bad. Nothing can look bad in the eyes of the public where this mother is concerned. She has to be the perfect mom. They have to be the perfect family. The dad is a cold fish at best, kind of a creepy, yucca guy, kind of guy. The older brother is extremely troubled, not merely because he's an adolescent, although that can sometimes be trouble enough, but because he has other things going on. It's okay. It's a decent read, a good read, actually. Again, it's called Close to Home by Cara Hunter, C-A-R-A Hunter, DB93787.
Whoa, that sounds good. And Perry had a book he was going to tell us about last week that when we were talking about baseball books.
Yeah, now I have two of them. I think, Nolan, you will be interested in the second one probably, but the one that Jennifer had asked about last week was a baseball book, and it's Voices of the Game, and it's basically it talks about broadcasting from 1921 up to when the book was written, and I forget what year that was, but the author is Kurt Smith, and if you can borrow from National Library Service, the DB number is 29679, so that's that one, and then the one that I think Nolan might intrigue you, it's Den of Lions, and it is written by Terry A. Anderson. He is a reporter because he died 2 days ago, but he was a reporter with the Associated Press. He was an Iowa native. He was kidnapped in Beirut, Lebanon in 1985 and was held for 7 years. And he details that in great detail in this book, what he went through. He was a big champion of on-the-ground reporting and all that. And if you want to read that one, DB37321. So that I haven't finished that one yet, but I suspect that will be a good book by the time I finish that one.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
It does.
I didn't realize he had died recently. That's fascinating.
Yeah, a couple days ago. Wow. He was an Iowa native. He graduated from Iowa State.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And we heard a lot about, you know, that he was kidnapped.
Yeah, of course you would have. Yeah.
You know, and I too, I mean, when there's a big story, I too love the on the ground reporting, because that's how you get the best news, somebody
stuff.
That's actually there.
That's for sure. That's the best of it. Preferably an independent journalist who doesn't necessarily work for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah.
And he was very, as I understand it from his family and people who knew him, his goal was to get it right. Whatever getting it right meant, that's his goal.
Interesting.
Well,
check that out. Thank you.
Have reporters like that nowadays. Everything is so slanted.
Yes, in one way or another. Yeah.
You don't have people that just are there and just show you what's happening.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And let you make up your own mind. Most people are intelligent enough to.
So true.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
Joe Friday from Dragnet.
Right.
Yeah.
And the hands are even quiet so far.
Oh, man, we're putting them to sleep. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
I've got another one if you're okay with it, or else you...
you can go.
You're ready? Go ahead.
Doesn't matter. You can go if you want.
All right, I'll hurry with this. This is also some unfinished business. I mentioned last week I would bring this up because I talked to you about 61 Hours by Lee Child, which is Jack Reacher number 14, and mentioned that he was in communication with a woman from Virginia who was helping him with a case in that book. The two of them developed a sort of a telephone romance, if you will, some sort of emotional affair, if nothing else, because they couldn't see one another, obviously, or associate in any way. This is Worth Dying For, a Reacher novel. This is Jack Reacher number 16. Lee Child is the author, very conventionally spelled, Lee, L-E-E, Child, C-H-I-L-D. The order number, if you're eligible to download books from NLS, is DB71982. Once again, DB71982. Or if you're really adventurous and you want the little magic bumps, you can download BR20399. BR20399. I misspoke. I beg your forgiveness. That should be BR20397. Once again, BR20397. Sorry about that. So I think this is the best book in the entire series that I've read so far. I'm not through this, finished with the series, but I loved this book. I spent a lot of time with it and lost a lot of sleep over it and regret that not at all. Reacher has come to a small Nebraska county on his way to Virginia in an attempt to track down Susan Turner from the previous book. So it's good if you've read the previous book to be able to first read so you can read this one, but it's not absolutely necessary. So the family called the Duncans essentially own the county in which he is traveling at that point in time. He gets into a little dust up at a restaurant or bar not of his own making in this small town. And pretty soon he's in the target of the Duncans. These are a family who has an iron hand on shipping agricultural products in and out of the small county. But considering the money and the influence they have, they're moving more than agricultural stuff. You can kind of count on that. The county is hopeless and terrified of the Duncans. The entire residency essentially bows to them, and it charges whatever it wants to ship their produce out of the county. Now they're angry with Reacher. One of the residents had an 8-year-old daughter go missing 35 years earlier, and Reacher can't leave the county until he understands what happened to that child. By so doing, he further angers the Duncans, their little mafia, and creates real problems for himself in the process. There are thrilling, fast-action scenes here in which Reacher does battle with the Duncan ruffians. This one really resonated with me, this particular book. I can't imagine the changes that must have happened in that fictional county once Reacher ends that Duncan family tyranny. You probably want to read 61 Hours first, but it's not necessary. Again, this is called Worth Dying For, a Reacher novel, DB71982 or BR20397.
And those are really action-packed books. The ones I've read, it seems like the action never stops.
The fists fly and the feet fly and the lead flies.
I know, and you think, how can he get in another fight and survive?
Right. How's he not perennially in the hospital?
They're the one I remember reading, the one that was early in the series when he gets put in jail.
Yeah.
And all the fights because the guards want to get after him. And just when you think he finally gets out of that scrape, then he gets into another one and it's... It wears you out. I was worn out reading.
Me too.
I got the end of it.
My old broken arthritic body saying, ooh, this thing already hurts. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's like, how can he go on?
Oh, no kidding.
Well, we have woken up the callers. So, Don, you'll be up second, but Kathy, you're up first. So go right ahead.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Welcome.
This is my happy place right here. I love Tuesday.
Love it when you come.
Well, thank you. But you know what? I've been bad. I read maybe two books this week. I'm not going to report on them. I can't even hardly remember them. I've been really busy. And I'm just getting annoyed because I'm not allowing enough time to read. And I'm just going to stop it. And I'm going to I have a Mac class tomorrow, but for 2 hours. But I am not doing anything else but reading tonight. How about that?
Sound like a good resolution.
Sounds like a good plan.
Well, I just get feeling mean when I haven't read for a while.
It's hard.
So everybody, you just gotta get on board and just deal with it.
I think I'd get mean after 2 hours of a Mac class.
That would do it.
Not that I couldn't do it.
No, I'm learning it, and I just need the help that they're giving, and I'm doing okay. Tomorrow is the fourth class, and they have a group StudyIO thing, and I asked a question, and they answered the question, and I could do what they told me to do. Yay! So, yeah.
Our mutual friend, J.R., loved those Macs. Oh.
Who did?
J.R., Nola, you remember how J.R. loved his MacBook.
Oh, yes.
Oh. And I said, J.R.
Yeah, he was absolutely the king of that thing.
I said, why? I mean, it's
why?
Okay.
That's me. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, it's okay.
That was my most common emotion expressed. Why do you mess with that thing?
I just want to turn my computer on and make it do what I want it to do.
Oh, exactly.
Well, there's a lot you have to learn.
I know.
His phrase was, once you Mac, you never go back. Well,
I have heard that.
Well, I'm not sure yet, but it's okay. I'm learning and I'm giving it a chance. I like that, you know, you don't have to buy a screen reader and all that other stuff because it's already there.
Well,
so I'm gonna do my due diligence because I bought it. Yeah. And you know, I promised myself I would, so I am.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck.
Yep.
Well, thank you. I'll have to tell you as
you progress. Yeah,
we would love to know.
Well, you know, at least now I know what they're talking about. Before I didn't even. So I don't remember being this stupid with the iPhone, but I must have been some time ago. Anyway, there's my timer. I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Don, you're next.
Okay, I'm not sure if Sandy's here with me or not. Sandy?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. Yep. Okay. Yeah, my other half here, my better half, and very soon to be. Anyway, I have another great, what I think anyway is a great historical book for you. I ran into this book a few weeks ago. It's called The Nazi Titanic. Now, of course, there's a, you know, ton of books on the Titanic itself and that sort of thing. Gosh, you could have a whole library of nothing but that. But this was written by a guy by the name of Robert P. Watson. He's written about 36 books or so on all kinds of subjects. This book here, I'll give you the blurb here. That'll probably explain most of it. Built in 1927. The German ocean liner SS Cap Arcana. I don't know what the word cap means in German. Anyway, she was at the time the greatest ship since the RMS Titanic. When the Nazis seized control of Germany, she was used as a floating barracks and troop transport, cast as the star in a propaganda film about the sinking of the Titanic, and ultimately packed with thousands of concentration camp prisoners, and so just days before Germany surrendered, the ship was mistakenly bombed by the RAF, and nearly all of the prisoners were killed in what was the last major tragedy of the Holocaust and one of history's worst maritime disasters. Now, of course, this particular book goes from the beginning and talks about the fact that this ship was used in a propaganda movie about the Titanic that the Germans did in World War II. And it was very interesting. That's mostly the part I've read so far. So I don't know much about the end of the book here as yet. But there's some very interesting facts that came out in the fact that both Hitler and Goebbels, his propaganda minister, were big movie buffs. So they were always watching movies from all over the world, trying to get ideas for propaganda, I guess, for their movies that they did. And they did quite a few. Most of them were, of course, anti-Semitic. But this particular movie that they did on the Titanic wasn't. They didn't sight in on that like they did, but they did sight in on the fact that the British, according to the movie, that is, that they were, sort of robber barons. They were trying to get the Titanic through the ice field early, which they were, actually, and they sighted in on that. Unfortunately, when they published the movie, Goebbels and Hitler thought that this would be one of their best movies. But it turns out to be one of the least popular ones. Actually, it was never seen in Germany. It was actually preempted before that happened. But anyway, that's just one facet of what this ship was about. And so I thought I'm eager to get on to see what else happened to the ship during the World War II after it was part of this movie. I've actually got a copy of that movie, and it's not anti-Semitic. It's mostly about British greed, you know, and trying to get all of the blue ribbons and all of that that the shipping people were trying to do. So anyway, that's what this book is about. You might want to try that out and see what you think.
Thank you.
Very good, Don.
Very good, man. Thank you, Don and Sandy.
Deb is next. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, hello, everybody. And it's
good
here. I have been so lucky this week. I have ended up with three different outstanding books, and I want to talk about one of them because it's part of a series that I think is unfortunately maybe ignored a little bit. There's a woman named Jodi Taylor. Her first name is spelled J-O-D-I. Last name is just the normal Taylor. And she wrote this wonderful series called The Chronicles of St. Mary's. And it is about a group of people who are intellectuals, and they do all of this time machine travel back and forth. And there must be at least 15 of these books. They're really funny and they're really fun. But after she got that kind of out of the way, she also had another group that was featured in that called the Time Police. And now there's a series called The Time Police. And actually, I believe it's better. I've read the third one, which is absolutely fabulous. But to really appreciate it, you need to go back and read the very first one in the series. The one that I just finished is called Saving Time. And if you'll hang on just one second, I think maybe the first one is just named Time Police. No, Doing Time is the first one. And it is about people who have just been inducted into this Time Police, which they have a really bad reputation of sort of like shoot first and ask questions later. But the person who is the head of it is now trying to reform that a little bit. And they have a new set of recruits, of which one group is the three main characters in this. And they're absolutely the most fascinatingly well-developed characters for a science fiction novel that you could imagine. And there is the most absolutely precious thing where one of them, who is a woman who is a little bit shy and kind of mousy, but has like clearly been being developed as a more and more person who's out there ready to make a big difference as you go along. And she is, there's a person who's kind of a little bit shy too, who ends up deciding to ask her for a date. And there's this whole sequence where what he thinks and what she thinks and what actually happens on the date that is absolutely both heartwarming and fantastically funny. If you like anything about time travel, these books are wonderful. They're not available on Bard, unfortunately, although the St. Mary's books are. So if you wanted to read one of those just to sort of get an idea of whether you thought you would like this whole genre or not, that would be fine. They're a little wacky, but they're just wonderful in that kind of offbeat British humor kind of way. So that's my main recommendation.
Thank you.
For the moment. Okay.
Good job. And the hands are done. So back to you guys.
All right, Jenny, I guess it's your turn.
I have another fun little mystery. There's several of these, but the one I want to talk about is the very first one, and it's called Too Many Crooks Spoil the Bra, and it's a Pennsylvania Dutch mystery with recipes, and it's by Tamar Myers, and it's about an innkeeper, Magdalena Yoder, and you meet her in this book, and she's a Mennonite lady, and she runs an inn, basically like a bed and breakfast, and in this one, she has a group of deer hunters that are staying there, and then she has the animal rights people staying there at the same time, and in her nice, crazy way, she tries to keep peace, and someone gets murdered, and she has to figure out who it is. But you meet some wonderful characters in this. Magdalena is so innocent, and some of the things that she thinks about what happens are so funny because, well, part of it is not making fun of her religion, but the fact that she's so innocent and she looks at things the way the Amish people or the Mennonite people would look at it. And she, some of the characters like the sheriff, Stolstice that you meet, and he's kind of a bumbling guy, and her sister is just a riot. Her sister comes, and she always has this little toy poodle that she keeps under her skirts and brings her with her everywhere she goes, there's just some really funny people in it, and some of these recipes might be pretty good. We'll have to have a topic one time on and find out if people have actually tried any of the recipes in these books. Some of them would be so high in calories, we'd never be able to walk again. But anyway, it's called Too Many Cooks Spoil the Bra by Tamar Myers, and it's DB49800. And it's read by Kristen Allison, and I don't know, everything I've read that she reads, she just has a way with some of these characters that she just makes it worth reading.
Very good. It looks like it's Nolan's turn. We're playing a tennis match. Oh,
you got a hand up.
We do have a hand up. It's going to be Don. So there you go, Don. There's your request. So come on in.
Okay. And I will say, for Nolan's benefit, that I told my doctor that the reason I gained weight was because of Mrs. Quinn's rise to fame. He did not really appreciate that, and I told him that by the time I saw him again, I expected him to read it, and then he could argue with me.
Good for you.
So I don't know how that's going to turn out. I'm afraid he'll read it and still argue, but I wanted to mention this book, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevens, or Stevenson. It's a very hard book to review because every moment of it makes a difference. It's both a classic whodunit about writers, a group of writers that are on a train doing a conference, a writing conference or a writing event, I should say, because it's aimed at readers on this train. And there are two murders that you find out very early on. There are going to be two murders involved. In addition to being a classic whodunit, it is a pastiche of the classic whodunit.
Oh, wow.
And it's really intriguing how the author, it's told in the first person, and it's the second book in a series. I have not read the first one yet, so obviously you can read the second book. It's been interesting seeing what people thought of it, because a lot of people said that he referenced the first book so often that they felt like they missed a lot by having not read the first book yet. But I don't really think... I think he did a good enough job. You did not need to. I think that I don't want to say misled, maybe intentionally misled people by constantly referencing the first book, but you really didn't need it. The mistake, quote unquote, that I made was I started taking notes because I wanted to try to figure out who the murderer was.
Wow.
And I eventually stopped doing that because it was actually, it was intriguing and fun in a way, but it was also taking away from my experience of reading it. And I enjoyed it much more when I stopped doing that because there really is a complexity to it. But it's hysterically funny without sacrificing the mystery. Sometimes you'll get something that, okay, it's very funny, but is it really a mystery? Or it's really a mystery, and what is this humor that doesn't work? This really does both. It's brilliantly written. I read it. It's not up on Bard yet. The first book in the series, Everyone in My Family Is a Murderer?
Has killed someone.
Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone. Thank you. Yeah. That's. I need to read that, and I'm very much looking forward to reading it, probably sooner rather than later, because I enjoyed. And the third one, which I thought was out, and the reason I thought it was out was I saw reviews of it. Well, I read the reviews, and the reviews, I don't know how people can give a book 5 stars and say, I haven't read this yet.
Because that's ridiculous.
And I thought, well, okay. And of course, I did see people doing that with My Name Is Barbara, but that I understood. But that's what these reviews that are up on Goodreads were like. I know this is going to be that good. And I thought to myself, if I weren't going to read it, I would almost hope it was horrible. So that
you'd
have to come back and adjust your review. But there is one coming out in October. It's going to be a relatively short holiday read. If this author can keep up the quality of the book in the voice in which he's writing, this will be an exceptionally good series.
Great.
I read it off Bookshare. Mm-hmm. It is available on Audible with a narrator. I heard the first part. I have a habit of going in and hearing the first 5 minutes of it because after I read it, because I want to see if my fingers did better than the narrator.
Yeah.
At setting the stage. And it's an Australian narrative because it takes place in Australia. And I'm sure he adds a lot to it. You also learn a lot, kind of indirectly, you learn a lot about Australia and Australian geography, but that's not necessary in order to read it. But if you're looking for that, I would really recommend this man's work.
Cool. I'm intrigued by the titles. If nothing else, the titles pull me in.
The titles and the descriptions, which are actually quoted from the beginnings of the book,
right.
And they look like, oh my God, what is wrong with this publisher? But there's really no other way for the publisher to describe it. It's that unique. But it's so much fun. And the title, if you like the title, I suspect you'll like the book. I'm anxious to see what you think of the books. Because I love the second one, and I'm really ready for the first one. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying, well, I'll wait a little. Well, I'm not going to wait too long.
What's the point? Life's short.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it.
Yeah, dive in. Good for you. All right, thank you. Any hands?
No more hands.
This is back to you.
All right. Here's the worst book of the week. Let's get it over with, guys. It really disappointed me. It's called The Tornado, Nature's Ultimate Windstorm.
Oh, you were looking forward to that.
I was so looking forward to that. And I have had it on a hard drive for years. And I finally pulled it down and said, okay, time to read it or kill it. I read it. The author is Thomas P. Grazulis, Grazulis. He also goes by TP Grizulis, whichever. You can find it there. The order number is DB53599. Now, here's the thing real quick, guys. If you are a complete tornado slash weather geek and you really love that stuff, you're just into it hardcore, and you love the idea of how these things are born, what they look like when they're at their full peak, what is their life cycle all about, then you're going to love this book. You'll just love every page of it. I found it incredibly geeky and ultra scientific. The tables droned on forever and ever and ever. It was numbers after numbers and not enough humanity to suit me. If you're going to download this and you're not a weather geek, at least go ahead and read chapters 8 and 9. Chapter 8 deals with tornado myths, and that was fascinating. One of them being, you should always open your windows if you know one of them is coming. And the author says, no, that's a waste of your time. Don't do that. It's not going to make a difference. Another one being, well, if you're in your car and you know one of these things is coming, you need to pull over and crawl under an underpass. And the author says, no, that's probably suicide. Get into a ditch instead. Don't play around with an underpass. I had always thought you tried to get under an underpass and tried to wait it out, but he said, no, don't do that. It's not good. It'll not help you. Chapter 9 is on tornado safety. What do you do when one of these is in your hip pocket? Again, he talks about people who insist on going to the southwest corner of the house or the shelter, whatever they're in. He said, no, that's not necessarily a good idea. You may want to go to the northeast corner because the tornado often is coming at you from the southwest, and it may be a little harder to get at you if you're in the opposite corner of your shelter or your house or whatever it is. They were good chapters, worth reading. A lot of humanity in there, a lot of stories, great, fascinating stories about people who, had their clothing ripped off of them by the wind and all this fascinating stuff. But on balance, unless you are a total weather geek kind of person, I got to tell you, I can't recommend this unless you download it and just read those two chapters.
And now, of course, they tell you it doesn't matter where in the basement you go.
Exactly. This was in the 90s. So.
Yep. Yeah. And the underpass, the interesting thing about that is if you go under an underpass, the reason now they tell you don't do it, the wind will be basically doubled in that underpass, and it'll hit you from both directions.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
So that's why they tell you don't do it.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine? Well, these are great stories. He had stories about fish coming out of the sky and water spouts dropping fish on towns and things, and people being, as I said, having their clothing ripped off by the wind and they being flung about. There's some good stuff in here, but mostly it's really, really geeky.
We want
what
simple.
What was the number of that again?
Oh, gosh, did I just lose it? I just lost it. 53599.
That one that we read for the for book talk that we all talked about was a pretty good one.
That was a good one. Yes.
Yeah, that
was
outstanding.
I learned a lot in that one because I didn't realize that I should have, I guess, but I didn't realize that the tornado kept all that junk that it picked up. I thought it would drop more of it along the way when it went to the next place.
No, it doesn't, because with debris, it gets caught up in the storm, and as it gets caught up, the only way that it drops it out is when the storm diminishes.
Yeah.
Dale, come on in.
Hey, good evening there, Perry and Jenny, and of course we can't forget Nolan and all the others that are here. Hey, thank you for the book titles. They're really cool. I've been kind of trying to take note of all these books here, and even that tornado, I might check that one out, just chapters 8 and 9.
That's right. You'll be okay.
We do have one.
Yeah, if you read those, chapters 8 and 9 will get you good.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, but thank you all for a great book talk club, and I'm glad I could be here, and I've even read that Chasing the Scream, but anytime I try to read a good book like that, I end up dozing off. I don't know why that is, but it does. It just kind of, it's sort of like the way it's read, it kind of seems like it just puts that anesthetic in me, you know.
I got the opposite problem.
Yeah, the opposite effect of what I want it to do, you know.
But, oh, I know that feeling. Because you relax and you sit there. If I sit there and read for a long time and don't do anything, unless I go out on the porch or something, I'm bound to go to sleep if I sit in my easy chair and read for a long time.
Well, I remember one time I was sitting by the wood stove, and sure enough, I had my arms crossed over myself reading the book, and my mom or my brother came in and asking me if I was hugging myself. Oh, no, I was sitting there dozing over a book.
Yeah, that's funny.
But, well, I'll hand it back to the group. Thank you.
Okay,
much.
Thank you.
All right, good
to have you here. Back. Take care.
All right, keep coming back, all.
Yeah, you too.
Kathy is next. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi, everybody, again. I was in a science class, and we were talking about tornadoes one time. And this cow, something happened, you know, the barn was gone. And the tornado moved the cow about 3 miles away and put it down. Man. And right beside the cow was a 45 record. You know, those records with a real, well, it was a single, you know.
Right.
And the name of the record was Stormy Weather.
Oh, no.
He mentions that in this book, actually.
Did? Oh, my goodness. I just didn't know if that was a real thing or not. But
he mentions that in this book.
There was nothing wrong with that cow.
Right.
Except he was like, how'd I get here, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Weird stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job, Kathy. That'll do it for the hands for now.
All right. Who's next?
I think it's Jenny, I think.
I think it is.
Well, let's see. Now, I'm unusual, baby, but I read most of the Ollie Reynolds series, but I think I like the first three or four better. So I want to talk about the first one in the series, which was Edge of Evil, when we first meet Ollie and she moves to Arizona.
Sedona.
Yeah, she moved to Sedona, and she, and this one, she hasn't quite gotten divorced yet, but she lost her job, and she's not getting along with her husband, and so she moves to Sedona, her and her son, and one of her childhood friends has ALS, and they die, and in order to kind of cope with the grief and everything, she starts writing a blog. And as she writes this blog, and she has all kinds of interesting people come and join her, but when she starts getting threats, you know, then she thinks that maybe she might be in danger, because she starts getting threatening posts from the blog, and she, Kristen Allison, does an outstanding job with this book, and I just wish she still read. She did a good job with so many, because she brings the blog to life. A lot of this book is her blog entries and the responses that she gets, mm-hmm. and the support that she gets from the people that answer her blog. And I was just really cool. I thought it was a really good book, and it's Edge of Evil. Lots of she's either listed as Judith A. Jantz, or it used to be J. A. Jantz, but either way, you look it up, and it's BRC00698 or DB61940. I would suggest, if you like Kristen Allison, that you read the audio version.
Mm-hmm.
She also wrote the Joanna Brady mm-hmm. Sheriff series and the Beaumont series.
Yep, J.P. Beaumont, yeah.
J.P. Mm-hmm. Beaumont. So
yeah.
She's quite a writer.
Yeah, she does a magnificent job.
It always amazed me that she could write so many different series and keep them all good.
Well, that's the thing. Some of these cozy mystery writers will do multiple series, but the characters all look like the last one in the previous series. In a lot of ways. And she doesn't do that. She manages to create real barriers between them that separate them a lot. And, you know, there's no way you can claim that Allie Reynolds is anything like Joanna Brady, or J.P. Beaumont is anything like any of the other two. They're very different series. And I Loved all of them. I'm not as big a fan as the Allie Reynolds series, only because it just seems more boring to me. But
it got a little weird towards the end.
It got a little weird once Sister Anselm came in or whatever her name was.
And the computer geek guy, her husband. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, it wasn't much. But boy, the Joanna Brady series is on target all the time. Just great stuff.
How did you like the one where Beaumont and Joanne Brady, they didn't hook up, but they had a chemistry between them. They were Beaumont came to
Beaumont. He sort of
Bisbee.
Like,
she was in Bisbee. Cochise County.
He's got one in every port, doesn't he?
Beaumont. Yeah.
Let's go to Deb. Come on in, Deb.
I was just going to join in the conversation about J.A. Jantz. I think she's a really good writer, too. Mm-hmm. But I also agree that I think that the ones you were talking about get pretty boring after about the first three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure exactly why. And I was kind of disappointed in the book that was with Beaumont and Brady. I did not think it was as good as some of the others. But I think that I really took a bad liking or a dislike, I guess you'd say, of J.P. Beaumont because of that book. And then I read the first one, I think, of the books of his. And I sort of saw that maybe there was more to the story than I realized.
That's a great series.
I still haven't gone on to read anything else yet, but it's on my list. And
it's a good series.
Bo was a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
And she had a few standalone ones, too, that I read about.
Oh, those Walker ones, but they weren't that much.
I've seen something about that, I think. Yeah. Are those good, too?
I've not read them.
As good as Joanna Brady and those. They're okay.
Yeah.
They're not bad. I mean, but they're just not as good as those are.
Mm-hmm.
But those were good books. And when I've been going through this, what do they call it? For lack of a better term, they call it some other medicine, but ambient withdrawal, going through that. Some of these books and reading all these books when I can't sleep has been a pretty good therapy, reading these books. They don't make me go to sleep, though.
Yeah.
So, but they've been good for filling up time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I guess if they fill up the time, Bill, they've done their job, haven't they?
But,
why they don't make you go to sleep, because it seems like, because I could go to sleep reading a book when I don't intend to.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that timer at night.
I think with me, it depends on the book. If it's a thought-provoking or I'm really into something, I don't have that problem. But if it's kind of just there, you know, then I do have that issue.
Now, Nolan, do you go to sleep on books?
Yeah.
Do you go to sleep on books, Nolan?
Yes, absolutely, all the time. I have, unfortunately, back when I used my Victor Stream, I would listen to the BBC Radio 4 at night.
Oh.
And so I conditioned my brain to fall asleep to those silly British accents. And so if I'm reading a book that is narrated by a Brit or whatever, I'm going to have a real problem with it. It's going to zonk me out in no time because of all that conditioning I had done. And I really do think there's a connection, as silly as that probably sounds to most people.
No, I think you're right, because we listen to podcasts lots of times to go to sleep at night, so we don't have to worry about really missing it.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Right,
I've noticed now, if I listen to one in the daytime,
you're out of light.
Before it's over.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. There really is.
But some of these, what I call them, drugs of choice, they give you sometimes, they work, but, you know, that the books and non-24, you know.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, you get it, don't you?
I do. I get it big time. My Fitbit says I'm working on 3 hours of sleep today, so.
I worked on 0 hours last night, and I know it's not going to happen.
I'm so
very
sorry.
Long, grim. But, you know, they.
Oh, that's grim.
I
literally will keep you in my prayers, because I know how horrible that can feel. You just get to where you feel almost hopeless some days. It just Oh, well, please, I just want sleep. I just want sleep.
You know, or they tell you at the doctor's office, whatever, they mess around with the insurance or don't want to do it, and then you have to pay for all of it. And
right.
Or make you feel bad because you can't sleep. If I was choice, you don't think I wouldn't sleep?
Right, exactly. It drives me crazy. These sleep centers are not equipped to deal with blind people.
No.
Well, it's a shame that you can't have like Tylenol PM or something for an emergency that would work.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I do melatonin religiously every night, and some nights it's great, and most nights it's not worth my effort. But yeah.
Did you get totally off of the one things?
I did. I got completely free of the Ambien. My doctor kept telling me I needed to do it. She had worries about memory loss down the road, and I said, I don't need that down the road, so let's get rid of it. So, haven't touched Ambien in years. It's a 10 milligram slow-release melatonin is what I use from a Kroger store.
Yeah, they don't have to be expensive. And I got some that's in these gummy-like things or what do you chew them up or they dissolve, or, you know, and it's, but if, I don't know, it's an issue, but we get back to, let's see, we got time for,
do we have time for one more?
Yep. About 4 minutes.
Okay. I really want to do this one. It's the best book I read all week.
Good.
I'm pleading with you to go out and read this. You will love it if you do. It's that good. This is called Surprise Me. The author is Sophie Kinsella, Sophie Kinsella. The order number, if you're eligible to download from NLS, is DB90228. Once again, DB90228. This is the most fun, lighthearted, magnificent romance I have read in literally years. Not making that up. Sophie Kinsella always writes wonderful books, and they're always lighthearted, and there's just a lot to be said for them. Here's the setup real quick. Again, this is called Surprise Me. This really resonated with me. As some of you who know me are aware, I belong to a church that is constantly beating the drum of eternal families and the concept of eternal marriage, that it goes on beyond this life. And so when I read this book, it really made me smile hard. Here's the quick setups. Sylvie and Dan have been married 7 years, but together 10. They have two little twin girls whom they adore. They love their house. The marriage is rock solid. According to the author, the sex between these two is through the stratosphere. It's that good. It's amazing. And so they're essentially a very happy couple. They both go to a doctor to get a physical. And the doctor says to both of them, guys, as healthy as you are, you could live another 68 years. And these are young people in their early 30s. And it just terrifies them both. 68 years. How are we going to hold this marriage together for 68 years? There's no way we can do this. And they think and think, and they just really work on, oh my gosh, how are we going to prevent this from going stale? What are we going to do? Oh, so eventually they decide the best approach is to surprise one another with little things, little gifts, little gestures of love, whatever it is that will keep the marriage from going bad. And so they do that. That's how it starts. These surprises will have you gasping and laughing out loud. You'll be stopping your player just so you can breathe in a couple of spots. On one occasion, Dan brings her a snake in a cage because he thinks snakes are cool and he's pretty sure she will too. Not so much. On another occasion, she slips a love poem that she creates into what she thought was Dan's dinner jacket at a party. Turns out he and another guy swapped chairs. So she inadvertently slipped it into another guy's dinner jacket. When the wife picked up the dinner jacket, she heard rustling paper, reached into the pocket, and pulled out Sylvie's love note to Dan, except it was obviously in Simon's coat. And, of course, the woman is like, oh, Simon, you promised you wouldn't do this again. And poor old Simon has no idea. So it's just really a fun They really learn a lot from one another about through these surprises, and they ultimately realize that love means being fascinated with someone forever. No matter what else, what you do, if you love that person, you're going to be fascinated with them. This is just huge fun. I can't. The sex scenes are non-existent. There may be a little profanity. I think the F-bomb drops a couple of times, but on balance, it's fairly clean, especially for a British book. The narrator, Fiona Hardingham, does an outstanding job. I just can't recommend it enough. This, again, is called Surprise Me by Sophie Kinsella, DB90228.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, thanks, everybody, for coming, and thank you. We'll be back next week. The podcast will be up later tonight, so have a good evening.
Take care. Thanks,
all. Recording stopped.